Today on Real Radio.
Many of us, in fact, how about all of us, if we've read the Bible, we've always come to those troubling verses, have we not? Those verses that cause you and I to be a little bit unsettled. Those verses that cause you and I to really take evaluation of where we are at with Christ and our walk with God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? We're coming close to the conclusion of this collection of studies, and as we do, Pastor Jack delivers a mini-series called Keeping Your Focus. Now, once we become born from above and our life is transformed, we begin to notice the various ways in which the Holy Spirit of God works in us. Now, one of those ways is staying focused on His will and looking forward to eternity. In other words, as long as we have breath, we keep our eyes fixed on the prize, if you will. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs takes a look at now in his study called Keeping Your Focus.
And this is going to be, I think, one of the most, if not the most practical thing that we're covering in this series, because it applies to every one of us. And if you and I do not keep focused in so many key areas as believers, then we run the risk of what Paul warned us about, and that is becoming disqualified. Many of us, in fact, how about all of us, if we've read the Bible, we've always come to those troubling verses, have we not? Those verses that cause you and I to be a little bit unsettled. Those verses that cause you and I to really take evaluation of where we are at with Christ and our walk with God. Now look, tonight I want to be very open with you. I want to be very candid with you. I want to be very much, as it were, a father to you in the faith, as also maybe a drill instructor. We're going to talk about boot camp tonight and next week, and we're going to talk about how can I know that we're going to make it to the end, and what does it mean and what does it take? It all comes down to you and I keeping our focus on the finish, on the prize, on the victory. Romans chapter 12, our theme verse for this series, beginning at verse 1, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, that's Paul saying, I urge you, I personally challenge you, I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I love that, because God has to use your body for a witness in this day and age. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a little bit to the right. 2 Timothy 2, beginning at verse 3. Paul said to Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We'll stop right there. Mark this down in your mind. Keeping your eye on the ball is key to hitting a home run. Or that miraculous thing, honestly, if you think about it, for many of us it's so common, but to take a baseball bat and to hit a little ball that's coming at you, it's so easy in our mind because we've practiced it long enough, especially as Americans, and when we grow up with baseball. But if you ever think about how it is to keep your eye on the ball, if you do, you will connect with the bat to the ball and out into the field or to the stadium it goes. We are to keep our eye on the ball if we're going to hit a home run. Well, listen, we are also to keep our eye on the target if we are going to hit the bullseye. And as a competitor, as Paul speaks about here, either being a soldier or an athlete, if you do not keep your eye on the finish line or the victor's crown or the checkered flag, you're not going to win. And he's talking to us as Christians that we need to, as it were, compete in this Olympic game of faith. that we need to be, as it were, at war, because we are actually fighting for the lives of not only so many people, but the truth is, those of you who are Christians tonight, the Lord has your soul. You are going to heaven. Satan cannot take that from you, but what he would like to do is sterilize your Christian advancement in the kingdom and make it so that your walk is not effective. In that sense, you are a soldier warring in the things of the Spirit to the glory of God. We are going out as believers to spread the good news, tell people the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and mine, that he rose again from the dead, and that as many as receive that good news, the gospel news, they can begin life all over again. They can have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. They can be guaranteed that heaven awaits them. That is a critical thing. That is an eternal life issue tonight. And you are either advancing as a believer or you are being retarded as a believer. You're not going forward, but you are either standing still or retarding backward. You're backsliding backward. And we want to make sure that we are advancing forward. So here we go. We're going to look at one point tonight, and then next week we'll look at the finishing 2 points. Point number one tonight is this. How do we get from here to heaven and keeping our focus? Number one, it is this tonight. This is all we'll look at this evening, and that is focus on enduring. Can you write it down? Take notes. You got to take notes. If somebody around you is not taking notes, then write your notes on their hand so they can take them home with you. You got to endure. Nobody wants to hear this tonight. Ushers, guard the doors. Don't let anybody out. We are to endure. The Bible commands us to endure. And we need to understand that as believers. When you come to Christ, it is not going to be a rose-strewn path of ease. When you become a Christian, the exact opposite happens. Do we have peace? Yes. Do we have vision? Yes. Do we have assurance? Yes. But we are living in a hostile world. Very important you understand that. I don't want you to be here tonight and be thinking that, well, if I just accept Jesus, I'll have no troubles anymore. No, you know what? I think if you accept Jesus, you're going to have worse troubles. Because you instantly translate from a world of flesh into the world of the Spirit. And the world of the flesh and the world of the Spirit is at war with one another. You say, Jack, encourage me. I'm going to encourage you. I will. I told you I'm going to be like a drill sergeant tonight and a coach a little bit and maybe a father. In 2 Timothy, as we just read, chapter 2, he says, very, very powerful, you therefore, that means none of us are exempt, that we must, it's unavoidable, and there's the word endure. And look at this, what is it that we are to endure? The collective word is hardship. And we're to do it as a good soldier. Now, we are not actual soldiers in the sense of this world and as they are fighting a physical war in this world. You say, well, okay, I understand that, Jack. Maybe, do you? When you are deployed, you are deployed for a season. You are deployed maybe for a year. And then you come out of battle. Ladies and gentlemen, are you with me? The Christian is never out of battle, ever. We do not go on deployment for 6 months or do a year. We do not do a term and then come out. The Christian, the believer, is always in a warfare, a battle in spiritual things. And Paul says that we're going to be enduring hardships regarding that. And he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him, that's the Lord, who enlisted him as a soldier. The word endure hardship in Greek is one word. It's this. It means to undergo the affliction. It means to experience, listen, the hardening. That's in a good sense. Through suffering and trouble. Now, I do want to encourage you. Trouble, suffering, it's native to human beings. Everybody. But it's only the Christian that goes through suffering and hardship with vision, purpose, and an understanding as to what it's all about and the benefits of it. Here the Bible tells you, now listen, right now, some of you need to hear this. You're going through a tough time. You need to understand something. The Bible anticipated your tough time. God says as a believer, you're going to be going through hardship and difficulties. Endure it as a good soldier. In John 16:33, Jesus said this, in the world you will have tribulation, troubles, difficulties. But be of good cheer. Don't you love that? Be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. Now, here's the thing. You might say, well, that's great for you, Jesus, that you've overcome the world, but what about me who's down here now? And that's the great thing. Because Christ is in you, he is the hope of glory, and it is, listen, it is his job by the Holy Spirit to get you through the trouble. For the believer, all of our troubles are under the direct oversight of God himself. Put it like this. Nothing comes to you and I except or unless it is Father filtered. Did you get a flat tire tonight? God knew about it. He watched it go flat before you knew. He saw the nail hit the tire. He said, why didn't he move the nail? Because he wanted you to go through having a flat tire. Why? I don't know why. That's your job to ask him about why you got the flat tire. But all of us have something. Did something blow up on you today? Did something happen to you today? What went on in your life today? We are to stop and ask God as a good soldier, Lord, regarding this hardship, what is it in my life? What is it you're going through? It's a very important thing. You need to understand, in this life, Jesus said, we are going to have personal tribulations. Acts 14:22. Now, this is awesome. Acts 14:22, Paul and Barnabas are making their circuit. We have often talked about doing this, and we don't know if we'll ever get around to doing it, but that would be to go to the churches that we've either started or have been very, very closely associated with over the years, that we would visit them again on a Paul and Barnabas encouraging tour. In other words, we'd go to Heidelberg, we'd go to Stuttgart, we would go to Russia, we'd go to England, we'd go to Mexico, we'd go to China, we'd go to these other places where we have started works for the Lord. Why? To do what Paul and Barnabas did. I think that would be an amazing thing, but I don't know if my body could take it. So maybe you should pray about going in and doing what? Doing Acts 14:22. It says, now Paul and Barnabas went about strengthening the souls of the disciples. Listen to this. So that's encouraging. Yes, it is. They went about strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to A, continue in the faith, and saying, B, we must through many tribulations inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul showed up on his donkey and he got off and he said, hey, I want you guys to keep going. Yes, I want you to continue in the faith. Yes, pray, study your Bible, love one another, be serious about God, share the gospel. Yes, yes, yes. And you're going to have real tough difficulties in life. Endure it, because that's the way it is for the life of the believer. The moment you hear that, I don't know about you, but the moment you hear that, you take a deep breath and begin to have some peace, because you know what? We think we've been conditioned that if something difficult happens to us, then maybe God doesn't love us. Church, it's the opposite. Where did we get that weird thinking? That if God loves you, you'll have no problems. That's not what my Bible says. Paul had problems. David had problems. Jesus had problems. He loves us. It's through those difficulties of our lives that he teaches us how to endure. You see, Jack, why do I need to know how to endure? Because I'm just going to go to heaven when it's all over. Because everybody's watching us and they want to know how to cope with life. We can give them the 12 steps to how to endure. That ain't going to do it. We've got to give them Jesus. And they don't want to hear about Jesus unless they see Jesus first. They need to see Jesus in our lives. And so when we're under pressure, they're watching. Family's watching. Neighbors are watching. We know that. Well, how does it look like? What do we do? Well, mark this down. Focus on enduring. That's how we get from here to heaven, keeping our focus. Number one is this, enduring the past. We need to endure the past. Let me explain what that means. The purpose for boot camp is a pretty amazing thing. And yes, it's to prepare you and I for battle, for the upcoming battles and for the wars. But it's more than that. Boot camp begins by, listen, removing from you your past. Did you know that? One of the first things that happens when you go to boot camp, you get out of the bus and they shave your hair off. They start yelling at you and they remind you that you are no longer within even a remote distance of your mama. They call you all kinds of names but your own name. They're screaming, yelling, and you would think that, well, these drill instructors are trying to kill these guys. No, exact opposite. Every one of those drill instructors want each and every one of these men and women to succeed. But to get them to succeed, they've got to first begin to have them experience enduring. And the first thing they do to get that to go about in their lives is to wean them from their past. Ladies and gentlemen, our past, if not handled rightly, trips us up. Our past has too much control on our lives, and Christ does not want it like that. This is going to sound corny, but you know what? It's just the way that it is. In the spirit, you are a Christian man. You are a Christian woman. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the eternal Son of God, and you're on your way to heaven. Listen, if we really believe that, then why do we mope around as though we are subterranean creatures? There is something seriously wrong. It's like we walk around and we kick the can of our past, and oh man, you know, I can't serve God. Why can't you? Because you know what? I used to pick my nose when I was about 7. What are you thinking about that stuff for? What are you doing? You need to let that go. Take it to the cross. Nail it. And that's what Jesus has done for us. We either believe it or we don't. By the sound of you, there's 3 of you who believe that in here. It matters everything. The past, part of being stripped down and remade, is absolutely learning how to endure the past. Not like, oh man, I've got to endure the past. No, to look at the past and to categorize it in Christ. That whatever has gone on in my life previously, now as a Christian, is for my victory. It's for my witness to others for Christ. And no matter what has happened in my life, no matter how dark and sinister the story is, the Lord wants to use that. So those of you tonight who are most down, you need to redirect your focus and understand that Christ wants to lift you up and take all those things that the world perpetrated against you. It's what he turns around and makes like coal into a diamond. And then you're the one that's able to do what maybe many of us cannot do, that you can stand there and minister to people regarding the issues of your life past that's now in Christ, and you can say, hey, listen, you were abused as a child? Let me tell you something about the power of God. Oh, wait, you were what? You were in prison? You were an armed robber, bank mugger person? I can tell you what it's like to get over that. This is the body of Christ. If you knew what the person next to you was guilty of, you would run out of this place tonight. But we don't know one another anymore like that. We only know one another in Christ now. And you look at one another and you go, isn't that cute? You have no idea that the guy next to you could be a murderer. Enduring the past. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it's what he was saying. No one, listen, engaged in warfare, entangles, encumbers, wraps his feet around with cares, with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a good soldier. Then listen. It's important. The new person that you are in Jesus Christ, your individual life now in Christ has been created, and you have a new master. You have a new general. It's Jesus Christ. You're not the same person anymore. You're a Christian now. You're not a Baptist, Calvary Chapel, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever. Are you born again? If you're born again, you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Well, what denomination is that? Ain't no denomination. You're born again. Okay, and your name is written down in heaven. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a new person. And as a Christian, my past now, listen, makes perfect sense to me. And all the stuff that I've lived in my life, the great thing about being a Christian, the older I get, and the more I look back at my old past life, and the things that I, listen, suffered, they're no longer sufferings. I'm learning how to endure the past. They become crowns. They become gems. Man, I tell you, I mean this, and I'll be as gentle as I can. The life that I had growing up, I was yelled at, screamed at, and other things happened to me that I ain't going to tell you about. Why is that important now? As a Christian? Oh, baby, it's awesome. Why? Because you know what? You can come up after service, you can yell at me, cry, and scream about what you think about me. You need to understand something. I love ya, but I don't care. Why? Because the only one I know who really, 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 really loves me has made it clear to me, and that's God. And when nobody did love me, he did, and he rescued me. And I do love you, and I do care. But listen, you need to understand something, that when you are chewed out by the world, that it becomes so normal that you don't even hear it anymore, that when God reaches down and parts the sky and says into your heart, I love you, you don't care what other people say. That is capitalizing on your past, learning how to endure it. And it's no longer an endure like, oh, I've got to carry this thing. It's like, hey, through Christ, I can do all things. You need to know that if you don't. You're not the same person anymore. Do we really believe that as Christians? What if the disciples way back 2,000 years ago really, really, truly believed in what the Lord had told them? Think about it. You say, well, what makes you think they didn't? I'll prove it to you. In the Gospels, Jesus was ministering to the thousands, and he told the disciples as the evening began to come upon them. This was in the northern section of the Sea of Galilee. Some of us are going to be there in a couple months. Jesus told them, get in the boat and go over to the other side. I'll meet you there. But he went up onto a high mountain to pray. They get in the boat. You know the story. They were rowing 3 to 4 hours. Now, you guys, it ain't that far. The storm must have been tremendous. And the cyclotron that comes down from Mount Hermon is like our Santa Ana winds, exactly the same. And the Sea of Galilee turns into an absolute killer. Horrible waves, scary. They're rowing. But pause right there. Did not their master, who they had watched already many times do miracles, did he not say, get in the boat, go over to the other side, I'll meet you there? Now, what do you think is going to happen? See, you and I live 2,000 years on this side. We say, well, those weak, faithless disciples. Okay, I understand what you're saying. But this is what I wish I would have done if I would have been there, or I would have liked to have seen the disciples do this because of what Jesus said. Jesus said, get in the boat, go to the other side, I'll meet you there. In the midst of the storm, what should they have done if they believed in what he had said? You do what people do just a couple weeks ago or just the other day. What happened here the other day? I was on vacation, but we had like some 35-foot waves here. Did you see that? What did people do? They went out surfing and busted surfboards in those gigantic waves.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture says to the believer about keeping your focus. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series, Keeping Your Focus, which is one of the final lessons in this overall series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?, which we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and that means that tonight and every Monday night, you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, you're in for a treat. Real Life with Jack Hibbs deals with hard-hitting, real-world issues that affect the believer in today's world. Some of Pastor Jack's recent guests have been Dr. David Hawking, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Kurt Bruner, Jacob Prash. Now, that's just to name a few. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock Pacific Time on hischannel.com. Now, if you'd like to see some of the recent interviews, just click on the video on demand right there at the top of the page. And then, of course, join us for tonight's broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, 7 o'clock West Coast Time on hischannel.com. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, if you'd like to talk to us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.